We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're part of the Blue Wire Network. I am Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm here with Jason Patton. Jason, it's officially our first podcast of the offseason. The NBA playoffs are going on. The Bulls, of course, are not involved. And for the first time in a long time, Arturis Karnišovas sounds like he is not satisfied with the state of the team. Jason, since the last time we talked, Arturis addressed the media and told the assembled group of reporters that, quote, this group, something does not work. I have to find ways to make improvements. We've done it for a couple of years now and it hasn't worked. Everything is on the table. This has been sort of a shocking change of direction, in my opinion, Jason, from Arturis. I really thought that he was going to go up there and blame the injuries that have riddled this roster for the last couple seasons. I thought he was going to try to make any excuse he could to eventually keep the same core together. And to be clear, I'm not discounting that will be the end outcome of this offseason. But at least for the end of season press conference, Arturis sounds like a guy who's ready to look at every avenue possible towards making significant changes to this roster. Here's one quote that stood out in particular to me, Jason. He said, we definitely understand that even with some of the positivity with the clutch wins and the overtime wins, we're still at 39 wins and at the plan. We somehow have to generate an additional 10 wins. Even with injuries we suffered this year, we need to change things. Jace, I mean, this is what we've been waiting for 3 years, as Arturis has been unbelievably inactive in every single transactional period. Jason, I ask you, has Arturis finally seen the light? And will he stop banking on continuity? Or is this all a show to get the bloodthirsty Bulls fans like me and you off his back until he can eventually shrug his shoulders and say, we tried, but we just didn't see anything we liked. Where are you at with this?
Well, topic? So like, I mean, you would hope that getting your shit kicked in by the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler, without Terry Rozier in a winner go home game would maybe enlighten you, maybe wake your ass up. And that same Miami Heat team, we just saw it in the playoffs, get absolutely murdered. They won one game with a historic shooting outlier, their devil magic against the Boston Celtics. But basically what we saw, the Heat, they lost by, I think, 34 tonight to end their season. All four of their losses, I believe, were by double digits and were basically never close. Again, they won one game where they made like 23 threes and they needed historic outlier shooting to win that one game. They absolutely smacked around every other game, which is what would have happened to the Bulls. And the Bulls, got smacked around by that team, that just got smacked around by the Boston Celtics. So you would hope that that would be a wake-up call that you are nowhere close to being a contending team, and that changes will be made, need to be made. Yeah, that quote you said was good. You kind of mentioned the one, the group hasn't worked. I'm going to look at the totality in this group. And he did even bring up, yeah, like some of the certain individual players, some great things. A lot of young guys took a step forward and it's positive, but in totality as a group, it didn't work. So I'm going to have to find the answers. Yeah, I mean, that's at least like for the very low bar that we have set for Arturis Karnišovas. And that bar is like underneath the ground, 6 feet under. Like he at least cleared that and is maybe at the surface of not being just totally dead as an executive. Now you have to put in the action. So the question is like, okay, you say this stuff. I mean, talk can be cheap. What are you actually going to do here? Because in the same press conference, he talked about, well, you know, we're not paying luxury tax unless we're a top four team in the East. I mean, and that's obviously not going to happen. And if you look at where the roster's at, like, are you going to pay DeMar DeRozan? A report comes out from Casey Johnson shortly after, like a day or two after, I believe. It might have been like Casey's recap of AK's presser that the Bulls had offered DeMar DeRozan a 2-year, $80 million contract. That's $40 million a year. That's a lot of money for DeMar DeRozan, even though he's earned it. We've talked about that. But like, it is only 2 years, but that's still $40 million. Patrick Williams is a free agent. What is he going to cost? The way the roster is right now, like, you're paying those two guys a lot of money. You are pushing up against the luxury tax. Like, what you talk about making changes, just what does that mean? And given Arturis and where and how he has operated in the past and what he has said, he does not want to take steps back. He didn't really talk. He talked about how obviously he wants to win a championship, yada, yada, yada. I can't remember. I have some of these quotes by me. I'm thinking about winning. I'm not here to stay in the middle. I talked about the formula 3 years ago. I'm going to have to find answers, yada, yada, yada. Results aren't what we want it. But does that mean he's open to taking a step back to getting better? Or is he going to try to go all in? I believe we talked about this on the night after the night they lost to Miami. Is like, you can either take the step back, maybe look at tanking next season, look trying to keep your draft pick. Remember, top 10 protected pick to the Spurs, going after Cooper Flagg. Or are they going to try to go like all in on this and like bring DeMar back? You're bringing everybody back. And then you like use LaVine, who apparently, as Casey reported again yesterday, trading LaVine is the top priority. Apparently, rival executives believe the Bulls might be able to find a better market this offseason. Does change basically, I guess it comes down to, does change just mean trading Zach LaVine for something to maybe drop some salary a little bit? And then bringing everyone else back, like that certainly wouldn't really be a change. I guess they could also use Lonzo Ball's salary, but again, if you're also using his salary to bring in salary, again, see where that would get them up against the luxury tax. So like, so he can say all this stuff, and it does definitely sound great considering what he's done in the past, which is basically nothing, and what he has said, which has been infuriating. This is at least a step in the right direction. But again, what exactly will this end up meaning? If they're not willing to pay the tax, does this just mean a Zach LaVine trade to like bring in a couple of pieces that will help you try to win now? Are they still going to try to go in and be a team, a contending team, or is AK actually willing to take a step back? Which I think with where they're at right now is that what they should be looking to do is, again, I don't think they need to go like full multi-year tank here, but I think you have to think about looking at taking a step back next season. You have some young guys you can kind of turn the team over to. And you play for that draft pick and you kind of keep that draft pick, try to build some assets, trade Zach, maybe try to sign and trade DeMar somewhere, maybe trade Vooch for anything. Again, you want to trade Alex Caruso. Obviously you want to still have some vets around because you don't just want a totally young team, but, just like fully moving off this core. Is AK willing to go that far? We'll see.
Yeah, Jace, that's the biggest point I wanted to make. After Arturis' comments, he said, we won 39 games. We need to find a way to win 10 more. Jace, 49 wins is also not really good enough. Now, it would represent a nice improvement for this team, for sure. But you're not competing at the top of the NBA championship picture with a 49-win team.
The Phoenix Suns just won 49 games, got embarrassed in the first round of the playoffs.
In the East is, of course, awful. Just permanently easier than the West for every year since Michael Jordan retired. But the most important point here, Jace, is that this Bulls team can't be saved. Immediately in the wake of their elimination in the play-in tournament, I believe Jamal Collier posted an article suggesting, hey, maybe the Bulls will look at Trae Young. We talked about this on the last pod. I see the New Orleans Pelicans get eliminated. And I believe that was four? They got swept.
Oh, they got swept. Yeah, they also won 49 games. Got swept. Again, Western Conference, different story. They've had to play the Thunder. Brutal for them. Without Zion.
I've said on this podcast multiple times, I can see Arturis going after Brandon Ingram. And again, Brandon Ingram's not saving this team. Trae Young's not saving this team. What the Bulls need is a foundational star. And a foundational star mostly has to be found in the draft. It does not have to be found with a top three overall pick. You could look at the best players in the league. Nikola Jokic drafted 41 overall. Giannis Antetokounmpo drafted 15 overall. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I believe, drafted 12 overall.
11 or 12, something like that. 10, 11, like
that. Tyrese Maxey drafted 21 overall. The Bulls need to find a player of, you know, a player you can build the team around. I'm not going to say they need to find a player of Jokic's caliber.
Yeah, obviously.
All time. But really, like, that's how you win in the NBA. And I did think that it was really interesting. My old buddy Mike Prada made a great point during the Knicks-Sixers game yesterday. Classic game, Maxey with, like, the half-court shot, basically, to force it to OT. The Sixers win, stay alive. Prada said, Embiid is the only lottery pick on the floor. Crazy stuff. Jalen Brunson, second rounder, becomes a superstar upon changing teams in free agency. You know, Maxey goes 21. And then there's just like a bunch of really good players on both those teams that were drafted outside of the lottery. So, you know, I do think that the Bulls need to tear it down. I do think they need to prioritize keeping their 2025 draft pick, which is a much more talented draft than we see here in 2024. But Jason.
And keeping this pick too, honestly. Just like you take a chance on a guy.
Dude, you took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. As the Bulls head into this draft lottery with the 11th best chances, I hope they don't trade this pick unless there's like a truly beneficial move for it. Like, this is not a good draft. I can't imagine the 11th pick in the draft has a ton of weight in trade discussions. But, you know, you just need to maybe take a guy and, you know, pray and hope on him that he can turn out to be a nice foundational piece for the team. And, you know, Kobe might not be like, you know, a franchise star on the level of, you know, the best players in the league, but he's a guy who you can keep and who can be like a very solid starting level player for you. Even if you just get a couple more of those guys, like, that's going to make a big difference for this team. Right now, they just have no one to really dream on. Unless Kobe can make, like, you know, another huge leap. But, you know, that's too much to put on his shoulders, really. There needs to be...
He's already taken, like, one outlier leap. So, like, does he have another in him?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And speaking of that, Kobe did not win most improved player, just fell short to Tyrese Maxey, as we kind of figured what happened, but it was one of the, closest votes in recent memories. Like, Kobe got a ton of votes. He was very close and fell just short, unfortunately for him, which is kind of a bummer, but I think we both kind of figured Maxey would win. I think in the spirit of the award, Kobe is like a better theoretical candidate. I know you can argue that like going from role guy to like star level is not as impressive as like kind of star level to all-star, superstar level. And we just saw Tyrese Maxey literally put the Sixers on his back yesterday with, 46 points in an elimination game with two huge threes to save the Sixers season. Tyrese Maxey's awesome. I'm fine with him getting the award. Again, I think Kobe deserved it. And that, I mean, that bore fruit it bore out in the voting. Like, it was very close. So bummer for him. And also on that note, DeMar DeRozan also fell just short in his clutch player of the year. Steph Curry won that. I thought that was kind of bogus. The Warriors were a terrible clutch team, even though Steph was great in the clutch, and DeMar's clutch heroics basically gave the Bulls a ton more wins than they shouldn't have. But also very biased because I had money on both DeMar and Kobe to win and did not win either of those. But the Bulls fall just short in both of those awards. So like back to what we were talking about, like, does Kobe, can he like get to a Maxey level? Like, that's asking for a lot for sure. Like, if Kobe tops out at what he is now, like, that's a really good player.
He'll get better.
What's that?
He'll get better, even if he's incremental improvement and not massive leap. So
sure, yeah. Of course, the thing with Kobe is his contract is obviously so good, but now he's only got 2 years left on it. So you really do wonder what's going to like happen here in the next couple of years with him. Our guy Will Gottlieb did a really good story, kind of comparing the Bulls and the Bears and how the Bulls should follow a Bears model of how Ryan Poles has rebuilt the Bears by tearing it down and getting a lot of luck. But now the Bears are in a position where they look like they have a great future. They have their quarterback, who hopefully, knock on wood, will be a star. They have an absolutely loaded offense. We have never seen a Bears offense with this much talent. Their defense has some good players, and they did it by tearing it down, building assets, being bad for a couple of years, and then making opportunistic trades, Chase Claypool trade aside. And now they're in a pretty damn good spot moving forward. Like, can the Bulls do something like that where they're obviously have kind of missed the boat a little bit about trading their vets, because the Bears had Khalil Mack and some of these other guys, expensive guys that they traded off to kind of start this. Like, the Bulls kind of missed, already kind of are past that point where they probably won't get much value for the vets that they have. But it is a direct, I kind of agree with that's what they should do. Obviously, again, you still need a lot of luck. The Bears got very lucky with the Texans winning that game a couple years ago and giving the Bears the number one pick that they traded. And then that trade is now looking like could turn into one of the best trades of all time if everything works out. I mean, even right now, it's already like one of the biggest heists you'll see in a trade. Like, will the Bulls be able to do that? Probably not. But if they do, just pick a solid direction and maybe do start, not necessarily starting from scratch, but building up that asset base again. Maybe you get lucky in the draft, as we talked about. Maybe they can do something like that. But Will also did mention, like, as much as like Kobe and Io both got better this year, because of their contract situations and where the Bulls are at, like, you could also listen on them in trades. Like, I feel like a lot of people would be real pissed if they traded Kobe, and like, I probably would be in the moment too. But like, if like they got some real nasty trade offer, like, Kobe is absolutely tradable as well. I mean, he's a really good player, but again, with where the Bulls are at, like, if there's a way where maybe you can turn it into like a ton of assets, you got to be open there. AK said everything's on the table. Literally everything should be on the table. Do I think Kobe White's going to be traded this year? No, I do not. Or this offseason? Absolutely not. But everything should be on the table with where they're at. So where they're at right now is just kind of is stuck in the middle with aging. The highest pay players are aging or have injury concerns. You do have, and it's a pretty expensive team. You have, again, the DeMar situation. You got the Patrick Williams situation. So everything should be on the table, 100% for sure. In terms of like, I mean, if AK is really dead set on whatever, not taking a step back and getting better, that is kind of tough. Again, you got Lonzo's contract. You got the Zach trade that you can make. I just don't think, I feel like I mentioned this a couple of days ago, like, watching these playoffs and how things have played out, I just don't think, and you kind of just said this too, I just don't think you can kind of just try to save this core with maybe other veteran upgrades. Could you get a little bit better? And if your whole thing is, oh, we just need to keep building, and then we'll get lucky on like a legitimate foundational star at some point, like maybe that could happen. But you just look at somebody across the league and the new guard has taken over. Younger teams with younger stars are advancing. We got the Timberwolves just absolutely mauling the Suns and their veteran big three. The Lakers are out. The Warriors didn't even make it to the top eight. We got Nuggets, obviously, or the Timberwolves. I mentioned them being the Suns. They have Anthony Edwards, of course. They made the Gobert trade, but the Gobert trade was on top of, because they had already had their like number one picks with Kat and Edwards, and then they made the Gobert trade to kind of finish that off. And now they're looking, they could threaten the Nuggets. Obviously, the Nuggets have been together for a while. The defending champs, they have a homegrown roster. The Thunder, who you said would be a Western Conference Finals team, have a great chance to go to the Western Conference Finals and maybe even further. They absolutely dominated the Pelicans. Homegrown roster right there. And then we got Clippers Mavs, which obviously the Clippers, no Kawhi. Like we got we're watching the game right now, 2-2 series. And I mean, if the Mavs win, the Mavs obviously have Luka Doncic, who they got through the draft and making a trade. The Clippers would be one example of like a veteran big three team if they make it that's still in, but they're kind of, I don't know. I don't think they're like a serious contender at this point. I feel like the Thunder will probably blow their doors off, and who knows when Kawhi might be back. And then in the East, the Celtics are a homegrown team. The Knicks are very unique with their Tibbs squad, and they have a younger star in Jalen Brunson. It's just going through all these guys. I'm rambling. The Bulls cannot just like sink more into this old team with DeMar leading with like DeMar and Vooch. Like, I just don't know what move is there that would in the next few years that like makes them an actual serious contender that doesn't like mortgage your future anymore. And I mean, I can mention the Orlando Magic. I know that they'll probably lose the series to the Cavs, but the Magic have now won more playoff games than the Bulls since the Vooch trade with two by winning two games in this series. And they have some really impressive young talent. It could be a team that threatens for a while now. So like, old guard kind of on its way out and younger teams taking over with young cores, with some homegrown young cores, which means the Bulls need to try to build their own like that. Stop sinking it into this old roster. DeMar, love you. Go sign and trade him somewhere else. Zach, go trade him. Vooch, trade him. Get the veterans off. You know, turn it over to the younger guys. If it means being bad for a year, whatever, you keep that pick. There is incentive to be bad. Clear incentive to be bad for not good for a year. So what do you think about that? I mean, you've been watching these playoffs. Any thoughts on just kind of the takeaways and like what the Bulls should be taking away from their season and what you've been seeing in these playoffs?
Yeah. My main takeaway is that this Bulls roster just can't be saved.
Yeah, right.
They can get incrementally better, and there is a major opportunity in the East because all these teams suck.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen for him. And the Sixers now have two foundational stars with Maxey and Embiid. And even they are just like in total turmoil. You know what I mean? And like,
I mean, that's what that was. Embiid's such like a question. Like, Embiid's obviously awesome MVP candidate, but he's always hurt at the end of the year and dealing with shit and dealing with this crazy, what is it, Bell's palsy or whatever. And he's got the knee problem. Maxey's obviously, yeah, but yeah, the Sixers, at least they have legit young star in Maxey. I mean, I haven't even met like the Pacers have Halliburton, and then they have Siakam now too. If they bring him back, the Bucks, old ass Bucks, they're all hurt. Big win for them. We'll see if they're able to come back against the Pacers. But just these older teams, they're just like, you see them, they're breaking down, and it's just tough. They obviously, the Bucks still have Giannis, and if Giannis was healthy, he's great. But Giannis has been hurt a few times now too. He's got a lot of miles on him, so it's like, I just don't know, like, yeah, where you're going. It's like they do bring DeMar back. What do you think about the 280 for DeMar? I guess is another. I brought that up, but you have not mentioned. We haven't really talked about that too much. Obviously talked about like 2 years is fine, but like, I mean, $40 million a year is just like,
is my two cents.
And just amazing. Like, it's again, it's just extending this core and like with this, and it's just like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, my two cents on this one is that signing DeMar to that contract does nothing to accomplish what Arturas said his goal was, which is to win a championship. And in fact, probably moves you further away from a championship. So I don't know. I've been wanting DeMar off the team since the last deadline, right? The 22-23 season trade deadline. They missed their window then. And at this point, like, we know they're not going to, like, maximize their chances of, like, getting a bunch of great future assets to start a cool rebuild. That's not happening. At this point, the best assets they got are their own picks that, you know, they have. They haven't traded away yet. And I would go the other way. I would prioritize trying to keep that top 10 protected pick in the 25 draft, which is owed to the Spurs for DeRozan. I try to get in the Cooper Flagg Derby. You need a player like Cooper Flagg if you're ever going to get out of this. It's not even a treadmill of mediocrity. It's like a treadmill of hopelessness. and, you know, there's just going to be a lot of young studs coming down the draft pipeline. Jason, the first pick in 2025, we already know Cooper Flagg. In 2026, we got two number one overall worthy prospects, Cameron Boozer, son of Carlos Boozer, and AJ DeBanza. And then in 2027, we have Tyron Stokes, also maybe Brandon McCoy. These guys are young. They're just sort of developing right now. But that's what the Bulls need to be doing. They need to be, in my opinion, trying to add premium young talent. And you can still do it, even if you don't land a top pick. But you have to be able to draft and develop much better than Arturas has shown to this point. Like, right now, they don't really have much to hang their hat on outside of the development of Kobe White. So they need premium young talent. They need to be patient enough, and they need to realize that the fan base, yeah, like, you can sell out the stadium to the casuals, I guess, just for having a 39-win team. But you're hurting yourself in the long run. Like, you're chasing the dollars right in front of you while sacrificing what this brand should mean on a national and international scale. And the further time goes on from the Jordan era, the further time goes on from even the D. Rose, Tom Thibodeau era, the Bulls are going to no longer be synonymous with excellence, which, like, me and you, Jace, as hardcore fans who watch every game, we know that the Bulls are a joke. They're a poor organization. They are only competent in relation to the Chicago White Sox, who are Ryan Storr's other team, that are just totally pathetic. So, and the White Sox can't even draft higher than 10, despite being the worst team in the league this year. What a sad state.
Rough. Rough.
The NBA doesn't have such rules. So, Bulls, you know, it's time to make a bold change of direction. You need young talent in the building, and that would not be possible by re-signing DeMar. So, to answer your question, Jace, I'm letting DeMar walk. I don't care. I don't need anything back for him. Just get him off the team.
Yeah, I mean, if you could get a sign, if you could sign and trade him, like, you get some. I mean, again, the Bulls are out a pick right now for DeMar because the Spurs did a sign and trade for him. And the Bulls gave them a first round pick. So, like, if you can pull off something like that now and he goes somewhere else and you get a first round pick for him, maybe you get like a trade exception that you can not use or use or whatever. Or maybe you get a young guy, just something. Like, DeMar still has a lot of value. It's just not like great value for the Chicago Bulls. Like, some other veteran team that can actually maybe win. Or even a younger team. If there's a younger team who, like, wants to take the next step that could use some offense, like, DeMar could be your guy. Like, he might be a little more, not quite as clean a fit as, like, theoretically Zach could be, because he doesn't shoot threes a lot. He does kind of really demand the ball. I mean, Zach, theoretically, we've talked about his off-ball stuff, how he could be a great off-ball player. DeMar is just not really that guy. So, like, maybe fitting him in is a little tougher, but, like, he is still very good. You know how awesome he is as a clutch player. So, like, DeMar still has value. So, like, it would be tough to lose him for nothing, but I feel like there's got to be possible sign and trade out there. I know, depending on where he's going, like, there's sign and trade rules. Like, you can't sign and trade to a team and, like, be over, like, the first apron and stuff like that. But see, we can talk about stuff like that on another pod. But you hope that you can get something for DeMar. I don't want to say lose him for literally nothing. But even if they do, it probably would still be just a better change in direction. Because, yeah, the bottom line is just, like, yeah, it's just hard to see how this core is salvageable. Like, as you could go as desperate, I don't even know what move that they could even realistically make. If you brought everybody, if you brought DeMar back, you bring Vooch back, you bring Chris back. Like, if your only moves are, like, trading Zach, maybe what and your picks. Like, yeah, what are you even getting? Like, I mean, you mentioned Trae Young. That ESPN article was like Trae Young. I think it was like Paul George. And who was there was another name in there, and I can't remember who it was, but like just adding like another veteran to the team, just like it's probably just not. Would it make them better? Yes, but would it make them meaningfully enough better? No. And if you're just still like spinning your wheels with like veteran teams, like to get to 45 wins again, you're probably. I mean, maybe you get lucky in the East. That's like the thing that you're banking on is the East. But like the Celtics are still there. The Celtics team is going to be really, really good for several more seasons, barring like crazy injuries. Like I know they're gonna be pretty expensive, but like they'll probably be willing to pay it. So like, gotta get the young talent. The Bulls just don't have that much, or like don't have like legit blue chip young talent. They got a few nice young players, so yeah. At some point, you just gotta kind of see what's in front of you and realize that hey, if we're gonna actually compete for championships in the coming years, we got to go in a different direction, maybe turn and take a step back before we can take a step forward. And for AK, like if you can sell that to ownership, like I know maybe Jerry might not like that. I mean, Bulls fans are probably going to be there no matter what. Like it takes a long time for Bulls fans to like start actually like getting upset in terms of like, I mean, even when before like Garpax got fired, I feel like the UC started getting, the attendance started getting a little worse then. And that kind of forced the change. But like if the Bulls went into a rebuild, like, whatever. And like, we're kind of just like playing Kobe White and some other young guys next year. I feel like plenty of people would still go out to see Kobe White. People love Kobe White and Io. Like, I don't think like selling tickets would be a problem next season, even if they weren't good and like traded DeMar or lost DeMar and like lost Zach. Like, I feel like you'd be fine there. And if you articulate this clear vision for the team, like I said, I don't think you need like a multi-year tank. Do it for a year, maybe do it for a year or two. You get some assets, then maybe you try to cash in some moves in the next couple of years. AK can maybe buy some time if you can sell it to ownership. Like, hey, like I'm going to do this. Like we're going to take a step back. We might be not so good for a year or two. Like, and he won't be fired. Doesn't seem like Billy Donovan's going anywhere either. Except I don't know if he'd actually want to rebuild. If the Bulls actually did go in that direction, would Billy want to stick around and try to do that? I don't know. But yeah, ultimately, I do think yeah we're in agreement that you should not be doubling down on this core. Although, I mean, the way AK has talked and you mentioned like the 10 wins thing, it would not surprise me if he did. In terms of like possible moves, I guess the Zach trade. I mentioned the Zach thing. Casey Johnson brought up how there was obviously no market for him this year, but that maybe this offseason, based on what happens in these playoffs, based on some other teams, maybe a market will actually open up, that some rival execs think could see that could happen. Any teams right now, like, do we think the Pistons will come back to the table? They are going to hire a new president. We'll see. Troy Weaver, I would guess he ends up getting fired by whoever they bring in. Would they come back to the table? Maybe be willing to add a veteran, kind of blow up their young core a little bit because they just need some veteran presence. Maybe. I've mentioned the Orlando Magic a few times. Especially in the first couple games of that series when their offense was pitiful. They, of course, then came out and absolutely destroyed the Cavs two games in a row. They're now down 3-2 after a tough loss in game five. We'll see there. But the Magic have a clear need for guards and shooting. Would they maybe be interested? They're going to have a ton of cap space. So like they might not even have to trade that much salary. Like that could be a salary dump situation possibly there. And maybe you get like an asset back or something like that. Sixers. We'll see what happens there. Who are the other teams that he mentioned? He mentioned the Sixers. He mentioned the Magic, the Cavs. They've kind of been kind of a mess. I mean, both those teams in that Cavs Magic series. So like, maybe there will be some teams that get a little more desperate. And maybe if Zach proves he's healthy, apparently he's ahead of schedule, maybe a team would be willing to make a move. So any of those teams, again, we've obviously talked about Zach trades for a while, but given what's happened since, we've talked about that, like before the deadline, any of those teams you think could be players in a Zach LaVine trade market?
Jay, Zach has 3 years, $139
That's a lot.
Million dollars guaranteed on his contract. I'm skeptical anyone is going to take him until they see him prove on the court that he is, you know, a near all-star level player again. I would love for the Bulls to be able to even like salary dump him without giving away additional assets to get him off the team. But I don't know. I'm skeptical. I think Zach's going to be on the team next year. And I think they're going to have to learn to play with him. And I don't think it's necessarily a huge disaster because his value can't get any lower. And, you know, at this point last year, we were saying, well, Zach LaVine's a damn good player. You can't just give him away. And now I'm like, please just give him away. Get him off the team. Let us move on. But he had a nightmare year. The worst part is that he seems like he's mentally checked out of the team. Now, will that change as next year starts? And as now he suddenly has, you know, some newfound motivation because the whole league told him, we don't want you. We don't think you're good enough for the contract that you earn. Will the Bulls make other changes to the roster that will put Zach in a different role, in a new light? We'll see. You know, DeMar leaving would certainly be the biggest thing, but they could do a lot of different things this offseason. We'll see what happens.
And if they don't trade Zach, you absolutely can't bring them back tomorrow because then that's you're literally just doing the same thing.
So like, Zach and Vooch back again, baby.
You just can't. You can't do it. I mean, Miami. Maybe you do the Tyler Hero thing. I do not like Tyler Hero very much. I mean, he's fine as a young player, but I mean, he's just not that good. But I mean, he is cheaper. The Heat maybe could get a little desperate because again, they tough year this year. They obviously lost Jimmy. Maybe they would have given the Celtics more of a series, but I feel like they're Pat Riley's probably getting a bit antsy, and if you lose, you get smacked around in the first round like this. Hero like hasn't been really a part of, I feel like, their recent runs because of injuries, and now in this series he was bad. I think he had one good game. He did kill the Bulls in the play-in game, but I don't know if they would look into Zach, and that's another expensive guy with an aging Jimmy and with Bam. I don't know. I have no idea, but yeah, I don't know. We just know they got to do something. And AK, hopefully, again, with what he said, hopefully he has recognized that the group hasn't worked. And I mean, there's Vooch there too. Like, I would love to get Vooch off this team. I'm just kind of sick of watching him play and be on this team. Like, I was in an argument with somebody on Twitter the other day who was really sticking up for Vooch. And like Vooch was defending him. Like, I don't want to, like, Vooch is not like whatever. He's not like the huge problem here, but like, he's certainly not the solution to anything. He's, again, just part of the thing. Like, he's 33, 34. Like, he's old. He's an old plotting guy. You're playing 35 minutes a game. Like, you're not winning anything playing Nikola Vucevic 35 minutes a game. Like, that, he's just not that guy anymore. I don't want him as my starting center playing that many minutes on my team anymore. Just like, get him out of here. Vooch would immediately become like the best backup center in the NBA if you traded him to somewhere else and he just played a smaller role. He'd be great. He can still put up numbers, still rebound, still score inside. Obviously, his shooting has fallen off a cliff, but he's just not that guy. Like, they made the big trade for him and they doubled down for him with the new contract, and it was just a bad move. It was a bad move and they did it. And we saw this year, he had a bad year. He was not good this season. His shooting fell off a cliff. His defense is terrible. He can still have some big games for you because he's still a skilled player, but just, you can't be playing Nikola Vucevic 35 minutes a game, or just can't happen. Get him off my team. Will anybody take him? Like, I have wondered, like, would the Thunder trade for him to be a backup five to Chet, play him with Chet a little bit sometimes, play 20 minutes a night? They could use a bit more size. I feel like a bit more veteran size there. Again, we could talk about going more into that kind of stuff later, but just looking for ideas to get these veterans off the team. The Caruso should be very highly coveted. Again, I know the Bulls won't get as much now that isn't going to be an expiring deal, but they should be looking at everything. They should be looking to trade all these guys, and hopefully we get at least a couple moves. Because again, Arturis Karnatsovas has not traded an actual player, I believe, since the 2021 offseason. So it's time, AK. It's time to get the trading hat back on and turn this roster over and go in a direction. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, and my two cents on this is that I have no faith in Arturis to do it well. I just don't think he's competent enough based on his actions or his inaction and his words.
Yeah, I mean, but I think just the concern is that he will not want to take the step back. Like I said, he can talk about changes all he wants, but from what he has said in the past, he does not want to take a step back. He wants to keep building forward. And I think just at this point with where this core is at, you just can't, there's just really no good way to do that unless something truly crazy comes up. And I don't know, you never say never, but like, I just don't, I'm not sure of the move out there that can like keep this, most of this core together. These, it's like DeMar and these veteran guys that you bring in someone like really that could really change the fortunes without taking a step back. Like if you just, if you're going to keep looking to add to a team and your goal is to get to 45 to 50 wins, like would it be fun to watch a 50 win Bulls team next year? Sure, it would. And maybe they could go on a deep run, but like, is there going to be any sustained level there? Like, who knows? Like, again, that's like a, such a best case scenario. We have to remember, again, the Bulls won 39 games this season with, while having, being the best clutch team in the NBA besides the defending champions. You cannot count on that happening again. If the Bulls had like a normal, regular clutch team this season, like that matched up to their actual like talent level, they would have won like 35 games. And like if they went 35 and 47 instead of 39-43 and still gotten whatever smacked around in the play-in tournament, whether it was by the Hawks, which who the Hawks are terrible too, or if it was by the Heat and like the same thing happened, like would anyone be like, oh yeah, like we really need to move this team forward? Like, no. And like four win differential shouldn't really change anything either, but like you just worry that like AK was like, oh, we won 39 games. Like we did win a play-in game. Like we're not that far off given where the East is at. Like we can still make some additions to this core and like it'll be, and that'll be, and that's going to be enough for us. Like, no, like the Bulls were the 20th best team in the NBA last year. They were, their net rating was like -2 or almost -2. Like they were not good. They were great in the clutch, which also features a lot of luck. You cannot bank on that from year to year. So like, if they,
it was nice to hear Arturo say that. He actually said it. He's like, hey, we had
That's true.
Wins, overtime wins, and we still weren't very good. So
that is true.
Arturo,
so
hopefully, like, learn his lesson.
Yeah. That is fair.
That loss to the Heat. I heard that, you know, Arturo was in the building in Miami for that game. He had his hopes and dreams on getting the 8 seed. He did not. He watched the Heat get their ass kicked instead of making a Cinderella run to the finals as the winner of that game this year. Yep. So, you know, maybe Arturo's learned a lesson. I'll believe it when I see it, but
I hope so. I hope so. It's just, that quote, but then followed up by the DeMar report was, I mean, and I guess the thing is, who knows when, I think the report like said, like the Bulls had recently offered that. Maybe like that was before.
Maybe it's off the table now.
Yeah, maybe that was before how things played out. Maybe that is off the table. It's like, you know what, don't actually want to do that now. Like that could absolutely be the case. Like Casey was not clear when that offer was put on the table. And apparently DeMar's camp, they want more years naturally. Which I mean, the Bulls, if they're going, like we don't want them to bring DeMar back. If they do bring DeMar back, it cannot be for any longer than 2 years. Just absolutely not. You just can't do it. Like if they do end up bringing him back, you could look to flip him, I guess, at the deadline this year, if you really need to. But no longer than 2 years if you're gonna bring him back. And 2-4, I mean 280 is still just, he's earned it, but like the Bulls just should not be the team giving it to him. So yeah, maybe that offer's off the table. Who knows when that happened? Maybe they offered it before when DeMar was saving their ass in the clutch every other night. And then they see what happens in the play-in, see what's happening in these playoffs, and it's like, maybe we shouldn't do that. So hopefully AK is, after watching what happened to the Bulls, after watching what happened to the Heat, after watching what's happening to a lot of these more veteran teams. And right now, as we've been doing this pod, the Clippers are down by 23 right now late in the third quarter. Like they'll need a miracle comeback to go up 3-2. If not, they'll be down 3-2 without Kawhi going into game 6 in Dallas. Like they're in big trouble right now. Like, so if they flame out too, and if the Bucks end up losing to the Pacers, I mean, that's like all the big name star studded veteran teams basically out in the first round. Like you just need the young blood. That's the thing. That's been the kind of our whole theme here, is you need more young guys to lead your team forward. And while Kobe is nice, Io's nice, they're not like top level guys on a championship team. Like we're seeing with Anthony Edwards, with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, with Luka Doncic, Jason Tatum, and all the guys Celtics have, they all have young, stud star level players that are leading their teams deep, or at least most of them. Again, the Knicks, I mean, Jalen Brunson is still on the youngish side, and he's, I mean, a total outlier, but you need young guys. We need the young bloods in here. Get the young guns in here and turn this thing around. So I think I got nothing else. Ricky, are you good?
I'm good.
Awesome. That is going to do it for us here on this episode of Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. As always, shout out to the Blue Wire Network. Tons of great coverage all across Blue Wire with the NBA playoffs going on. So please, if you like what we're doing here at Cash, check out some of those other great NBA pods as well. I know I've been on the Knicks pod a few times. Those poor guys watching the game last night against the Sixers. Brutal. Hopefully for them, I guess they don't totally blow this series. But I mean, that was a wild game. That series has been awesome to watch. But yeah, bottom line, tons of great podcasts, NBA podcasts all across the network, and tons of great other podcasts as well all across Blue Wire. For us here at Cash, please rate and review us. Give us those 5-star ratings. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're all over the place. You can follow me and Ricky on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_J. Ricky is at SB_Ricky. Of course, go check out Ricky's great work at SBNation.com. We do have the NBA draft lottery in, I believe, 12 days. It's on Mother's Day this year for whatever God's forsaken reason. Very strange. Again, the Bulls, we will start talking draft pretty soon. And again, Ricky will have all your draft coverage at SBNation.com and on this pod, too. We'll talk more about the draft lottery again in the next upcoming weeks because it is in 12 days. And also go check out ClutchPoints.com, too. So that's going to do it for us on this episode of Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We'll talk to you guys next time.